שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר פסח.
Hello, we will be reading from the Passover booklet. In the English version, this will be on page 122, at the bottom of the page. Now we will explain the meaning of the matzah. The article is called The Connection Between Passover, Matzah, and Maror. You can ask us questions on kab.tv live, and you can find the text on our archive in kabbalahmedia.info as well.
Yes, we're continuing our study in about how do we come out of our ego, that only when we come out of the will to receive and are between us, each one comes out of himself and wants to be connected with the other, then each one of us doesn't pay attention to his self, but rather to what is between us. And there between us, we find the spiritual space. Where is spirituality? Outside of me. I am me, my ego, and outside of it, outside of my ego, there is the force of bestowal, the force of love. There the Creator is. There is the place where that we call the upper world. And there is the purpose of creation, the purpose of our life. And this is where we have to reach. As much as we each time gradually rise above our ego, above myself, and get outside of ourselves towards others, accordingly, we feel the upper world, the upper force. We feel what is outside of us, outside of myself, my ego. And this actually is what we have an opportunity for now, to move away from this virus, realize that it is what is rejecting us, pushing us away from our ego to get out of it, from myself outside. And here, it is actually the most correct and true medicine. Coming out of the ego is actually the solution to all problems. And this actually is what this remedy, this virus is. It's a remedy for our ego. This is why it comes, because it wants to show us how much we have to rise above our ego, our self, and connect with others. In that we find the right remedy, the right correction for our situation. So, let us try now to realize that running away from my egoistic self to between us, there between us is the spiritual world, there between us is the Creator. We don't understand what between us means. For the time being, it is some place that we don't even feel that it exists. So we need to nevertheless yearn for a connection between us. Then we will feel that the connection between me and you, between my ego and your ego, there is the upper world, the upper force, a domain, a dimension that is simply on a higher level than us, a higher dimension. And there we will find what is called the land of Israel. Eretz, land, Ratzon, desire, and Israel is Yesharkel. There we will be able to be aimed towards the Creator and feel Him. This is where He is. There is the next world, our spiritual, our eternal spiritual life. It's all there, between us, in the connection between us. So let us try to detect it, locate it, feel it, understand it, understand why love your friend as yourself is the sum total, the rule of all the corrections, and in love your friend as yourself, inside of it, the Creator is also there. Let's go?
Yes, so this will be page 222 in the English version of the Passover booklet, starting with the words, now we will explain. Now we will explain the meaning of the matzah, or the Passover unleavened bread. In the work, we should interpret the word matzah from the word meriva, or strife, for the masa and meriva, and for the quarrel of the children of Israel, and for their trying the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? The translation into Aramaic says about meriva, the conflict or strife, that matzah, strife, is because the children of Israel strove. It follows that the matzah comes from the word strife, meaning that the people of Israel had a quarrel with the Creator over why He made it so difficult to work in order to bestow, and why, even though they tried to come out of Egypt's governance, not only are they not advancing, they see that they are even regressing. In other words, they were tasting bitterness in the work, which caused them to quarrel with the Creator, and strife is called matzah. We see that over such a complaint, the people of Israel quarreled with Moses, meaning when they saw that when they began to work for the sake of the Creator, they had become worse. As it is written, quote, and they said to them, may the Lord look upon you and judge, for you have made our ascent odious in Pharaoh's eyes, end quote. These complaints that they said to Moses, Moses said to the Creator, as it is written, quote, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. End quote. We should interpret their complaints to Moses when they said, quote, we'll see and judge, end quote. It means that they quarreled with Moses, since Moses told them to believe in the Creator. So they went out of the body's control. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, controls the body, and he afflicts the kedusha, or sanctity, holiness. They began to work in mind and heart, and saw that the body, which is Pharaoh, began to govern them, meaning that everything they wanted to do in the work of the Creator, the body resisted it vigorously. Before they began to walk in Moses' way, they had strength in the work, but now everything they do, the body loathes. This is the meaning of what is written about Moses, quote, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes, end quote. In other words, our body loathes our spirits in the work of the Creator once we begin the path of bestowal. Afterwards, Moses went to the Creator with the complaints of Israel, who quarreled with Moses over him bringing them the message from the Creator. It is written about it, quote, and Moses returned to the Lord and said, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? End quote. Meaning, what are the complaints? He said, quote, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. End quote. Ever since I came to the children of Israel, refers to their bodies, which are called Pharaoh. To speak in your name means that everyone will begin to work for the sake of the Creator. This is the meaning of in your name. it stands to reason that since everyone wants only the truth, for is there anyone who is a fool and wants to walk on the path of falsehood? Rather, indeed, everyone wants the truth. As always, when knowing that someone is lying, no one wants to listen to him. But here they said, quote, why is it that when Moses came and told them to walk on the path of truth, the body which is called Pharaoh makes our ascent odious when we begin this work? End quote. For this reason, they had grievances against the Creator over becoming worse now than before Moses came to them as the Creator's messenger. He wanted to deliver them from the exile. So why are they seeing now that they are going deeper into exile, that Pharaoh controls the body more forcefully and with greater intellect, making them understand each time with different arguments? It follows that Israel's situation prior to Moses coming to them as a messenger of the Creator was better in the work. Now, however, they see that their bodies, which are regarded as Pharaoh, have complete control over the children of Israel. That is, where there should have been high spirits from knowing that they are walking on the path of truth, the opposite occurred. In the eyes of the body, which is called Pharaoh, what spirit did they have? It is written about it, quote, for you have made our scent odious in Pharaoh's eyes, end quote. The body was telling them, quote, what spirit is there in the work of bestowal, end quote. Making the scent odious means that it's a bad smell that is impossible to tolerate. This means that they could not stand this mindset and wanted to escape the way one runs from a stench. That is, instead of the work on the path of truth bringing high spirits, so that a person will want to stay forever in that mindset, the opposite occurred. From the work of bestowal, they received a mindset of stench.
This is truly the problem. If we reach spirituality, and if we're talking about spirituality being something so good, so pleasant, it opens up for us a spiritual world, a world of truth, an eternal world, where we feel our life above all the limitations of time, place, and movement, where we become independent of life and death, above everything. So why, if so, do we feel so bad when we come out of our ego? Our ego is doing all of the bad things to us. Now, let's say it is giving us the coronavirus, but in general, all of the problems in our lives, according to what Kabbalists explain to us, are done by the ego. It's the opposite of the Creator. All of the dark, limited states up to death, it all comes because of our ego. And if we have just a little bit of the upper light, the force of the Creator, this is our life in which we exist coercively also. So then, why do we feel so bad when we leave our ego? We should have come out happily. So why is the exodus from Egypt, from our ego? It symbolizes for us the exit from the ego. Why is this whole process so unpleasant? Well, let's see. Yes.
From the work of bestowal, they received a mindset of stench, meaning that they wanted to escape that mindset and could not stand it for even a minute. It is as was said to Moses, quote, "For you have made our scent odious," end quote. Moses brought Israel's grievances to the Creator and asked him, quote, "Why have you sent me?" End quote. The Creator replied to Moses, as it is written, quote, "And the Lord said to Moses, now you will see that which I will do to Pharaoh, for with a mighty hand he will send them," end quote. The answer to why the Creator has made the work of bestowal so hard was that he wanted the mighty hand to be revealed. As it is written, quote, "For with a mighty hand he will send them, and with a mighty hand he will drive them out of his land," end quote.
This means that because only on top of something and its opposite, two contrasting things where we check one with respect to the other, can we measure, can we check how much there is a difference between them and how much one is correct and the other is correct, and one is not more than the other or the opposite of the other. Accordingly, we can scrutinize the depth of this world and against that the depth of the next world. The depth of this world is our ego. The depth of the next world is the quality of bestowal, the quality of connection, the degree of love, and then see these two things as the advantage of light out of darkness. Only in such a way can we attain the height of connection on top of the height of separation, where actually this way in our senses we build an attitude, a relation to the spiritual world. We have no senses for the spiritual world. We have no senses for the Creator. We exist in this, in a field, and He's around us, but no one feels it because we lack senses. Just like, let's say, if we didn't have ears, then how would we perceive audio waves? So we don't have this sense, the sense of bestowal with which to feel, to perceive the upper world, His quality of bestowal. So what can we do? So it turns out that, well, we have nothing to do, but only out of the collision between the will to receive and the will to bestow, when we try to do it in a group, there we can start to scrutinize the difference between corporeality and spirituality. And it's truly interesting. I wrote it on Twitter about an hour ago that, well, somebody wrote to me that, and he said the following: we're friends in a group, and each one of us 100% wants the goal. He is willing to invest himself 100% in order to achieve the goal, attain the Creator. Each one is very dedicated to the path. However, we are constantly in conflict with each other, in a distance from each other. There are those who do it gently, and there are those who forcefully don't even want to hear or to accept the other. And it all depends on the magnitude of the will to receive in each one. A great egoist cannot stand anyone. A person who is more temperate, it is because his ego is lesser. It's not that he's pretty. So the question is, what do we do? This is why it says, one who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. But specifically those people who are very much incapable of even understanding the idea of connection, they are the ones who go forward and break all the barriers along the way and reach a higher goal, a stronger revelation of the spiritual world. But here, it's interesting that a person who writes to me, what is he mistaken about? He says, the friends are devoted to the goal. They very much want to reach the goal. They're very much drawn to it. But they're constantly rejecting each other. It is because they don't understand where the goal is. The goal is specifically between them. In the connection between them, one with the other, when I feel the other this way, in the connection between us, we need to discover the Creator in an inner connection, not a physical connection. This is the problem, that they don't understand where it is. This is why when they yearn for the goal, they don't understand where it is. And this is why they oppose connection. But if they would know that the goal is between them, specifically there, then they would oppose connection, but at the same time, they would also check what is positioning them in such a way that they are objecting connection. What is distancing them from the connection? They would discover the ego that is hindering them. Then they would ask of the upper force of the Creator for the power to resist the ego. Then in the connection between them, they would put all of their heart, all of their attention, and they would try to connect. So please continue.
In which way is the mighty hand necessary? It is precisely when the other party resists with all its might. Then it can be said that we must use a mighty hand. But if the other party is weak, it cannot be said that it requires a mighty hand to deal with it. It is as the allegory that Bala Sulam said, that normally when two people are disputed, sometimes they move into a fist fight. One who sees that he cannot overcome the other takes a knife against him. When the other sees that he has a knife, he takes a pistol. And when that one sees that the other one has a pistol, he takes a rifle and so forth. Until the other one takes a machine gun. And if he has a machine gun, the other one gets a tank. However, we have never heard that if someone takes a stick and wants to hit with it, the other one takes a tank to fight against the one who took the stick. It is likewise in the work. It cannot be said that we must go against Pharaoh with a mighty hand if Pharaoh does not resist very strongly. And since the Creator wanted to show him a mighty hand here, the Creator had to harden Pharaoh's heart. As it is written, quote, "For I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may set these tokens of mine within him," end quote. However, we should understand why it is written that the Creator hardened Pharaoh's heart. Because the Creator wanted to set those tokens so that the name of the Creator would become known. Is the Creator deficient in any way? Does he need others to know that he can set tokens and signs? Also, what does it imply to us in the work that we should know this for generations? According to what Bala Sulam said about the question that Abraham asked after the Creator promised him, as is written, quote, "And he said to him, to give you the land to inherit it. He asked, how will I know that I will inherit it? And he said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and afflicted 400 years, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions, end quote. He asked, what is the answer to Avram's question, quote, how will I know that I will inherit it, end quote, meaning, what is the meaning of what the Creator replied to him? Answer, quote, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers, and they will be afflicted, and afterwards they will come out with many possessions, end quote. He asked, the text implies that the answer was satisfactory, since Avram did not ask further, and we see that Avram's way was to argue with the Creator, as in the case of the people of Sodom, when the Creator said to Avram, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great. But here, when he told him, no for certain, he was pleased with the reply. He said that since Abraham saw the magnitude of the inheritance that the Creator had promised to his sons, Abraham thought, according to the rule, that there is no light without a vessel, meaning there is no lack without a filling. No filling without a lack. He did not see that the children of Israel would need such high degrees and attainments in the upper world, which is why he asked the Creator, quote, how will I know that I will inherit it, end quote, since they haven't the vessels or the need for the great inheritance that you are showing me that you will give to my sons. They haven't the need for it. To this, the Creator replied to him, quote, I will give them a need for the lights, just as I will give them the lights, end quote. In other words, the Creator will give them both the lights and the vessels. Do not think that I bestow only the abundance. Rather, I bestow upon them both the need, which is called kli, vessel, and the abundance. This is the lack and filling. By the people of Israel being in exile in Egypt for 400 years, which is a complete degree of four b'chinot, four discernments, by being in exile in a land that is not theirs, meaning that the Egyptians will impart Israel with a desire for self-perception, a desire that does not belong to kedusha, to sanctity. This is called eretz, land in Hebrew, from the word ratzon, or desire. And their desire to escape that desire, when I make them unable to come out of that governance by themselves and see that only the Creator can help them, and they will have no other choice but to ask me for help, it is, as our sages said, quote, he who comes to purify is aided, end quote. And the Zohar says that the help is that they are given a holy soul. By the many prayers, when they seek the Creator's assistance, they will receive a higher degree each time. And by this, they will have a need to ask of the Creator. This will cause them to ask of the Creator and receive a higher degree. After which, I will be able to give them the inheritance.
I think that maybe here we should stop, and anyone who wants to ask, but ask really about what we asked, not deflect us from this path. First of all, think about the friends so that we will not confuse them. Rather, we will add to all of us an understanding about what we read, what we heard. So please, if you're responsible for what you're going to ask, then please ask for the benefit of everyone.
Focus group.
Focus group.
Focus group.
From Tel Aviv comes the question, how to turn coming out of the ego into a practical action, not just an intellectual concept? And can you give examples for coming out of the ego towards love of friends?
Well, it's very simple. We are in a 10. Kabbalists tell me that in the 10, I can attain everything. everything. Everything is included in the ten. What is inside is included in the ten. What is on the outside comes and also is included in the ten. And I start and finish all of the corrections, my entire path in general, in all of the worlds, in all of my different forms, in the ten. The ten is the address where everything will be revealed from it, and also everything from the outside will be included in it. It's everything. So there is no other work here. But the only question is, where is it in the ten? So today we're talking about it being between us. Between us. The spiritual world exists between me and you. Not in my ego, not in your ego, but rather between us. This is the place, this is the discernment that we have to discover. Actually.
Italia 4. Italia 4.
Good morning, Rav. Good morning, Cleo Lam. Thank you for letting me ask. Sometimes you tell us something about connection or to exit the ego, and I feel a physical rejection in my stomach to the idea, like I want to jump away. Is this a real impression? Is this something true, or is it just in the imagination? Do we feel it physically?
Of course we do. What is the difference between physically, internally, spiritually, emotionally, in our nerves, in our feeling? These are all phenomena from our ego that cannot accept anything outside of it.
Thank you, Rav.
Baltia 3.
Good morning. If we liken our group to Moses with respect to its role towards the world, so what is that action of the emissaries coming to Pharaoh?
No. I don't want to get into all of these things. You are mixing up our work. You're mixing our work in the group between us, where we want to build a spiritual discernment, and between us and the world, or maybe to our friends, other tents, and between all of these tents as one tent to the world, this is something that we're not yet capable of digesting all at once. So please ask in a more precise manner. Go ahead.
Okay. What does it mean that the situation is worsening? Why does their situation worsen when Moses comes to Pharaoh? Why doesn't it improve the situation? Why does it make it worse?
The spiritual kli includes within it 10 parts, or 10 degrees of oviyut, coarseness, 10 qualities. Where does it stem from? It stems from the four phases of direct light. We learned this. You can go in there and study it again. So it turns out that in order for us to come out of our ego, we have to go through 10 discernments of our will to receive, our egoistic desire. Those 10 discernments, when we come out, are called the 10 plagues, and blows, because each time we have to discover the desire, how opposite it is to bestowal, to love, to connection, to coming out of it, and to rise above it, and rise above it. This is how it is each and every time in all of these 10 desires to receive of ours. This is how we come out, and not at once. At once, we cannot. The will to receive is incapable of, it cannot be depicted in us at once as one. It is always revealed in 10 manners. In 10 manners. And all in all, in all of these 10 manners, when it is revealed, we see that, oh, this is the will to receive that includes within it the general desire, and in it, we discover, in those 10 discernments in it, we discover the Creator.
Можно последний раз спросить, если мы правильно работаем, если мы правильно.
I'd like to ask again, if we work correctly, we discover the will to receive, and this is a worsening of the situation. But actually, in fact, this is the proper way of it, right? So if we get those 10 plagues, it's a sign of proper work, right?
Yes, it's true, but it's on the condition that we truly overcome it and we rise from degree to degree, from blow to blow. Right? Frog, blood, fleas, what these plagues are called. However, we indeed need to discover all of them.
Asia.
Good morning. I'd like to ask if the fact that the name Avram appears without the letter Hey, sometimes Avram instead of Avraham, is that meaningful?
Well, here, I don't know, I didn't look at it, I didn't pay attention to it. But Avraham and Avram, well, of course, with the hay, without the hay, there is a big difference. And it's also written in the Torah itself. The Creator tells Avram, now your name will be Avraham, the father of the nation. Whereas Avram, this is just a name like any other name. It's just a name.
Latin 4.
Rav, el texto dice que después de ser preso por 400 años, esclavo, saldrá con muchas posesiones. ¿Cuáles son esas posesiones?
¿Lo shomim mitargem?
Misha mitargem?
Who is anyone translating?
Gil.
We have a slight problem with our Spanish translation at the moment. Here, can you repeat?
אם אפשר לחזור על השאלה.
If you can please repeat the question.
Rab, el texto dice que serán presos por 400 años.
The text says that they were in Egypt for 400 years and then they came out with great possessions. So what are those possessions that the text is talking about here?
The possession is the will to receive, which they took from Egypt, from the time that they had a great ego. But now they come out, they rise above this ego, and they can use it as of youth, coarseness in the pertuf. They are now in control of their ego, and it's not that the ego is controlling them. This is the whole matter of coming out of Egypt. It's a nice question, but is the answer clear? Well, I hope so.
Focus group.
Guru
this group.
The Creator says that I brought them into the will to receive, into Egypt, so that through many prayers they will ask me and receive a greater degree every time. So what is that in our work? How to understand it, to feel it, how to accomplish it?
Only if you pay attention more and more to where your will to receive is placed and how you can start to work with it correctly. Only in such a way, like I now spoke before we read the article, in the beginning of the article, that the will to receive is placed between us. And we, each one of us, wants to come out of himself towards the other. There, in the common will to receive, where both of us, or in the ten, we're all writing our will to receive, then there we can discover the area where the Creator will be revealed.
Jerusalem.
What needs to be done when we discover the will to receive, but that doesn't turn into a call for help to the Creator?
Again,
what do you do when the will to receive is revealed, but it doesn't become a plea for help to the Creator?
I guess you don't see it as the enemy. You don't see it as the disturbance that is hindering you from reaching the Creator, reaching the upper world, spirituality. You don't discover that the will to receive is truly deflecting you in such a way, obstructing you from reaching wholeness, eternity, bestowal. And bestowal, well, here along the way, you have to scrutinize many discernments and give them the right characteristic, the right depiction, the correct feeling, the right name, so that you will know that for you, on the path, your will to receive should become replaced, should become bad, and the will to bestow, that you'll be able to do it, should become good, so that you will start yearning for the will to bestow, and you will want to run away from the will to receive. This is called the exodus, the escape from Egypt, and reaching the land of Israel. As much as you hate more and more your will to receive, your ego, your thoughts about yourself, and as much as you love more and you connect to the will to bestow, to love of others, connection between the friends, gradually, as you feel how you're leaving this one and entering that one from your egoistic desire, from thoughts about yourself and how to constantly make it more comfortable and better for yourself and to be enclosed within yourself, how you run away from it, how you disconnect from it, how you understand and feel that you have to come out of it into a desire to bestow, a desire to love others, to feel the other as more than you, more important than you, etc. This is called the Exodus from Egypt. Well, friends, this is what it means by the Exodus from Egypt. So, I'm suggesting to you, start to give yourselves an emotional interpretation, emotional, of what does it mean to come out of Egypt from our ego and to enter the land of Israel, a desire that is aimed towards bestowal, towards love of others, the love of the Creator. Is it clear, Jerusalem? Then take off the question mark.
Bulgaria.
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 Отрывки сказано, что Творец раскрывает кли, и он наполняется света. А под какой форме раскрывается это кли?
In the text, In the text it says that the Creator fills the vessel with light. But where is that vessel revealed? Rav, in what manner is the vessel revealed? Importance. The connection with others becomes more and more important to me compared to being simply enclosed within myself. Like that, we can, for the time being, later we will have more more accurate discernments. But for the time being, the extent to which I feel that others become more important to me than myself, or feeling something more important than myself, at least anything, that is a sign of advancement. Accordingly, I can measure the extent to which I'm becoming more distant to this from this world, even though I'm still in it, and the extent to which the spiritual world becomes more important to me, which is love of others, bestowal, the connection between us, that ultimately becomes more important to me than myself. That's the meaning of crossing the boundary between Israel, between Egypt and Israel, the Red Sea is the final border. Where you cross it, there's no coming back. Until that point, there is always a risk of going back. And that is how we advance. Who else do we have? USA, LA.
Hello, Rav. Once we attain the quote of crossing, do we cancel? Are we able to cancel the flashes from the ego to, you know, entice us with desires of disconnection and lust, whatever? Is there a way to not feel these flashes once we cross these desires?
No, we keep getting these blows from the ego because the ego constantly grows, bringing us the revelation of new ego, and also the new blows to come along with it. But we don't call them blows anymore, because after coming out of Egypt, the ego is revealed, and we see it according to the story of the people of Israel in the desert and this whole process. But this process in the desert, where they find all sorts of flaws and malfunctions, they're not actual flaws. It's revealed in order to be corrected. It's always revealed in order to be corrected. It's the revelation of flaws which yet remain in the will to receive, because without that, it's impossible to correct. How do we reach the end of correction? What are those words, the end of correction, when we complete the correction of all the flaws, right? Before that, another flaw and another flaw and another keep being revealed in the will to receive. Flaws which before we could not sense. Flaw was so hidden, so unclear. Right? And now it is. It is apparent. So, on our path, we keep revealing the malfunction or the flaw, and then correct it, and so on and so on. Because our will to receive isn't complete yet, but it's revealed to us gradually, and that's how we correct it.
Czechoslovakia.
Good morning.
Morning.
If we'll reach a right connection between friends in tense, how I will feel by friends?
You will feel them being with you in one will to receive. You're all together eternally. And I don't know how to say it. It's more, it's closer than the way the woman, the mother, feels her embryo. Even closer than that. Because the embryo, what kind of will to receive does it have? It's just a little beast within another beast, the mother beast. But here we're talking about very different, very diverse desires. This gives us the ability to understand the Creator, this special combination or compound that He is. All right, let's go back to the article. We will have more things to discover. Don't worry. Where are we?
In thus, the Creator deliberately.
Here, exactly. We have something which is a bit new.
Thus, the Creator deliberately made them unable to overcome, so they would have kelim vessels. It follows that the hardening of the heart was done to Pharaoh in order to make room for a need for the upper lights. If they did not have hard work, they would not have the need for the great lights.
Meaning that it's not enough for us to discover that we cannot overcome our ego or will to receive. It's not enough that we discover that we're made entirely of ego, and there is nothing to us but for the egoistic desire. We must also discover that we're incapable of correcting our ego by ourselves, and also that we must bend and bow and subdue ourselves so as to ask the Creator to correct it, to fix it. So there are many more discernments, one atop another, which we need to discover throughout our struggle with the egoistic desire, our struggle with our nature. First of all, to discover where it is, who it is, who he is, where exactly I discover him. Meaning, it's not an egoistic desire that I want to drink a cup of coffee right now. Yes? That's not what it's about. The issue is that I want to discover him and to correct him. And here on the path, there are many discernments until I annul myself, annul my ego. And it's not just that I annul it. I make it more pronounced in front of the Creator. I also subjugate myself, submit to the Creator, so that the Creator will fix it for me. So there's very serious, great surrender, submission towards the Creator. He arranged all these stages in such a way where when I come to the correction, when I reach it, I'm entirely subjugated. I just poured myself in front of the Creator in every way with all the discernments that need to be discovered in the will to receive. The Creator, when He created our will to receive, To begin with, he created such discernments in it from himself. He inverted himself. It's like a thing in its opposite. Patritsa and matritsa, right? It's a complete copy of the Creator. Everything that exists in the Creator exists within me, but in an opposite form. And I need to discover this opposite form until I discover it in its entirety, and then I ask the Creator to correct it, and I reach the end of correction. Let's read on. Because
One who is going to fight against someone else, with the hand or with a stick, the other has no need to use a tank or a cannon against him. For this reason, in order for the lower ones to have a need to receive great lights, they must be faced with strong klipot, shells, which a person must draw great lights in order to break them. Otherwise, he would be content with little. It follows that Pharaoh's hardening of the heart causes them to draw great lights. By this, we will understand what we asked. Did he set the tokens in order for the nations to know that the Creator can do miracles and wonders? That is, did he make the hardening of the heart in order to be respected? Does the Creator have grievances against his creations? Meaning, does something against the will of the created beings? After all, the whole purpose of creation is to do good to his creations. And here it turns out the opposite, that he made the hardening of the heart to the creatures so everyone would see his greatness, that he is almighty. Now we can understand this simply. Pharaoh and Egypt refer to the governance of the will to receive that is in the created beings. In order for the created beings to need to receive the high degrees that the Creator has prepared for them, and our sages said that by their being unable to overcome their will to receive, they will awaken to dvekut with the Creator, which came to them by merit of the patriarchs, to whom the Creator promised that their children would be rewarded with the delight and pleasure that he has prepared for the created beings. For this reason, he made the hardening of the heart, so that they would need to ask of the Creator to help them. This help comes, as the Zohar says, by bestowing upon them a holy soul.
So everything is already inside of the, already prepared inside the will to receive and in the light, and there's just, they have this interplay between them. And the person is the lower force, the Creator is the upper force, and these discernments are all revealed on the way, on the path. It follows
that all the overcoming is that they drew a little bit of illumination from above. By this, they will eventually have kelim, meaning a need for the inheritance that the Creator promised to the forefathers. It therefore follows that the verse, that I may set these tokens of mine, is not for the sake of the Creator, but for the sake of the created beings. It means that through the hardening of the heart that he does to Pharaoh, where body becomes more assertive each time and does not let a person work in order to bestow, but since the person yearns for dvekut with the Creator, he must try to make greater efforts each time, or else he will not be able to defeat it. And in order to receive greater powers, the only counsel is to pray to the Creator, for only he can give him the required forces. The forces of the Creator are as said above. The spiritual force that the Creator gives him each time is called a soul, neshama, or the light of Torah. This means that each time he receives the letters of the Torah according to the overcoming that he needs to perform This is called that I may set these tokens of mine. Meaning, in order for the letters of the Torah to be revealed to Israel, he must create in them a need. This is the meaning of the Creator giving the hardening of the heart for the sake of the created beings. Accordingly, we can understand what we said above, that we need upper abundance for the making of the kelim, meaning to have kelim, vessels, fit to receive the upper light. This assistance is regarded as the light coming to make kelim of Kedusha, which will want to work in order to bestow, as in, he who comes to purify is aided. Once he has obtained the kelim that want to bestow upon the Creator, the abundance comes as abundance, and not in order to make kelim. In that respect, when he has a desire for the Creator, he no longer needs the hardening of the heart in order to receive the light of the Torah. Since according to the rule, when a person works for his own sake, a different thought comes to him, that from here to, meaning from this pleasure, called the pleasure of rest, you should not deny yourself. It follows that the pleasure of rest causes him not to have a need for higher degrees. Instead, he is content with less. This is why the Creator had to give the hardening of the heart, meaning that he sees that he cannot do anything for the Creator. That as long as he has not qualified his kelim to work in order to bestow, and he is still in self-love, they give him satisfaction in the little bit of work for the sake of the Creator with which he was rewarded. Since he feels that he is working for the Creator, he is satisfied and cannot yearn for higher degrees. It follows that there was no room for the revealing of the letters of the Torah. For this reason, each time he receives some help from above, and then descends from his degree once more, and again wants to enter the Kedusha, he must receive help once more. It is written about Pharaoh in the plague of the hail, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked." Afterward, it is written, "Come unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, that I may set these tokens of mine within him." This order continues until he corrects his kelim that belong to his degree, and then begins the order of the coming of the lights. However, when he has been rewarded with kelim of Kedusha and wants only to bestow upon his Maker, he does not say, "Now I'm saying that I have already given you a lot, and now I want to rest a little bit, because I need to receive for my own sake too." Instead, one who has only the desire to bestow does not need to be given hardening of the heart, as when he is making the vessels of bestowal. Since he has no interest in this, one who has been rewarded with the will to bestow wants only to bestow upon the Creator. It therefore follows that when a person...
We can't understand this exactly, because being in the will to bestow means to be in a completely different sort of relationship with everyone else and with the Creator and with reality, with respect to life and death, all of our values, our whole approach and perspective on life, it's completely the opposite. As it says, I've seen the opposite world. Right. Kiev 1.
Hello, dear Rav. In certain moments, it turns out that you feel, well, with the friends in the common work or a request, you feel the kut, adhesion. What does it mean that we discover the letters of the Torah in the connection, as he says here?
Letters are discernments. Discernments. The Torah means light, the reforming light, the light which corrects us. When we discover the letters of the Torah, it means that we discover vessels thanks to the light which shines upon the will to receive. The light shines upon the corrupted will to receive. It corrects the will to receive. And the will to receive becomes from just a wreck, a mass of just useless material. It takes on different forms, shapes. Now, these shapes that the light makes of the will to receive, which are compatible with the desire to bestow of the light, by the light shining upon the will to receive begins to receive the letter, to take on the form of the letter Aleph, Bet, Gimel. Where did these letters come from? They came from the influence of the light upon the will to receive. The light, when it comes, because it's the opposite of the will to receive, it imprints on the will to receive its form, its own form. And the difference between these two things gives us the form of the letter. A letter is a sign, an indication, a special form, shape, a special shape of the or form of the connection between the will to receive and the will to bestow, when they connect in a specific way. And so it follows that all of the letters we have in the Hebrew language are meant to reveal to us the connection between the will to receive and the light, which is the will to bestow, in the way where the vessel, the will to receive, can be similar to the will to bestow. If it takes upon a certain form, that is, a form of a certain letter. So we have the article about the letters in the Zohar, where the forms of the letters and the inner qualities of the letters are discussed, meaning qualities, what forms of the will to receive. We have 22 letters, so 22 specific forms, and five special letters, mansepach, which are used at the end of words. So how can we express all of the qualities of the light using these letters? And it's a wonder, how could it be? Later he explains to us, the Zohar explains to us rather, how to express these letters through speech, how to vocalize them, right? We have a special way to vocalize each and every letter. To Sharatz, Gehi, they're divided into letters which, well, where you use the palate, the cheeks, the teeth, the tongue. So you have five groups of letters, five main groups of letters, according to the five Naranchai and the tip of the Yud, Shorash Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, so on, all these divisions and subdivisions. And so we have these letters, and it says why and how the letters we vocalize are related to the letters that we write in a certain way, how they relate to the certain sounds we hear. When I say a certain letter, for example, you can hear it. How can it be that from the way I express it, the way I vocalize it, you can hear it through the air, right? And you begin to understand, and then you begin to attain. How in such a way we can give each other our spiritual discernments, right? So how the Creator is clothed in these egoists who made sort of certain corrections on themselves. So there's one ego which becomes a little adapted to the Creator to a certain extent, and then it can relate that to another piece of ego which can also adopt that adaptation. And so that reaches the third part of the ego, and all these things through sounds, through writing, and verbally. And also we have that through painting, through music, through dancing. All these are five forms in which the will to receive can express itself or is expressed. They exist there in the connections between people, in the communication between people. We can learn that. It's also, those are also, that is a language, and it's a very special language. For example, the language of dance, not modern dance, but the way it simply comes from within the human body, which is built in a way specially adapted to the inner soul. Okay, there's a huge, big, aggregation of all the ways in which we are adapted to the Creator, compatible with the Creator. And when we achieve all these adaptations together, we reach the end of correction. We become similar to the Creator. And in that way, every single expression of ours is adapted to the Creator. The Creator is clothed in our love with His love, and it's called One Receives the One, and we reach the end of correction. And that's how it works. But for the meanwhile, we are at the beginning of the path, and you can see that we're being worked with in a very intensive manner. So we need, throughout the day, throughout the night, as much as possible, all around the globe, to engage in connection between us. We need to try to connect together in such a way where we discover the power of bestowal, the mutual power of bestowal between us, to a small degree even, and in that degree, in that revelation, we reveal the Creator. So, me to the friend towards me, and between us, the Creator. We need to try and do that. And it's on our way. Vlad. It's on the path. Yes, Vlad.
Скажите, пожалуйста, Раф, а вот если мы все-таки эту работу, вот как вы сказали, производим, и мы
пытаемся... And if, nevertheless, we generate, we do this work, as you're saying, we try to connect, we stumble upon all kinds of obstacles and disturbances. This actually builds these letters, if I understood it correctly. So is there any order to how we discover the letters? These come first, then something else. Is there some order in the revelation of the letters in us?
How, you're asking if there's a certain order or not. How can it be that there's no order to things? Of course, how could it be? The order is very clear. It's there. It exists, and we need to work accordingly. Of course. Of course. Yes. How could it be that there would be anything that's not according to the order of the thought of creation? There's no such thing. Whatever happens to us, or rather, what happens to us, where we can go from A to B, or we can go from A to B through a very short process, or through many, 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 many different processes. But we reach the same goal, ultimately. That's the thing. So the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us how to change, not through blows, through a very long path called Beito in due time, but rather through a short path, which is called Harishena, or hastening it. But of course we arrive at the end point, and everyone will return to his root. But we're talking about a short, pleasant path, pleasant to the Lord and pleasant to the human being. Moscow, one, who's there?
Can you hear me? Good. Dear Rav, good morning. I wanted to ask about the letters. I would like to penetrate a bit deeper into the depth, the level of the thoughts. How can we more effectively, more actively clothe this light intellectually, actually, in our mind and our emotion? Can you elaborate on it a little bit? Can you open it up? It's really interesting. Thanks.
It's very interesting, but it will become clear only through your own work. I have nothing further to add. And also, when you read the article about the letters, and even if you read it many times, you will not understand any more of it through reading. You will understand more due to your own investment in rising above your ego and coming towards others. The connection in the group between the friends, it solves all the problems and it explains everything to you. It opens everything up to you. Only the connection between the friends, because the Creator is revealed in the connection between the friends.
Latin 2.
Saludos, Rab. Saludos, Criolamín. Rab, la pregunta es, además de todo lo que estamos haciendo en la diseminación, ¿me escuchan? ¿No?
Hello, Rab. Hello, World Flea. About everything we do in dissemination,
¿cómo podemos apresurar los tiempos en este Pesach para poder elevar?
How can we hasten the times in this Pesach, Passover, so that we will be able to raise divinity from the dust and do the work?
Same answer as the one I provided before. Only through the connection between us, between me and a friend, between me and another friend, between me and all the friends in the group, if I search where the Creator is between us, where he's between us, because it's in the mutual concessions between us and the mutual connection between us. Look, I'll draw it, perhaps. Make a nice drawing. We have our ego. If above our ego, we make a concession over our ego, this is called Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. This is our ego. If above Tzimtzum Aleph, we want to connect to each other even more in bestowal, I'll write it Hashpa'a, Hebrew for bestowal. And if above that we find this connection between us, a true interconnection, a connection where inside of that connection we discover the Creator. It's called Bore. Bo ue. Come and see. Bore. That is how we come to a state where spirituality, the letters, the colors, the sounds, everything that we have, we gradually begin to discover. We begin to discover all of that in this upper layer, but we begin from our ego. From our ego. So where are we, Gilad?
We are reading in It Therefore Follows. Mm-hmm. It therefore follows that when a person has only the desire to bestow and he wants to bring contentment to the Creator, he begins to think what the Creator needs that he can give to the Creator which he does not have. Therefore, he decides that the Creator has no lacks, except that he has created the world with the intention to do good to his creations, for the created beings to receive from him the delight and pleasure. For this reason, he asks the Creator to give him the delight and pleasure, because this can be said that he, the Creator, needs for the lower ones to receive from him the great lights that have been prepared for the created beings. From this, we can say that the Creator enjoys. But if the lower ones are unable to receive the light of Torah, called letters of the Torah, it is as though there is a lack above. This is the meaning of what our sages said. When a person regrets, what does the Shekhinah, divinity, say? My head is heavy, my arm is heavy. Thus, when is there contentment above? Only when the created beings have delight and pleasure.
But this goodness, this pleasure, comes from the connection between them. In that connection, the Creator is revealed, not good abundance and pleasure, which come from the negative, right? From the opposite form from the Creator, which is the form of reception.
For this reason, at that time, there is no room for hardening of the heart. Rather, the time when hardening of the heart must be given from above is only for the purpose of making vessels of bestowal so that one can receive delight and pleasure, which is in order to set these tokens of mine. We should interpret that this refers to letters, for letters are called kelim. That is, in order for a person to have a need called kelim, there needs to be a hardening of the heart, as it is written, that I may set these tokens of mine. But once he has the kelim, there is no more need for the hardening of the heart.
I think that it's advisable for us to stop here, because people are tired of this article already. It's very long and very, very special in terms of its depth. Perhaps we, in the Ervut, we still have to read item 29, right? So let's finish it.
Okay, so before we move on to the Ervut article, let's renew our connection for connection, praying, giving contentment to the Creator. Let's focus our intention together silently.
And then with song. Thank you.
יש קול שמתעורר מבפנים מבקש את הטעם שבחיים האיסורים והמחובים כל שנות החיים למי אנו מהנים ואם נקשיב לכל הקריאה לא נסחף בהבלי הבריאה נגיע לפתרון אחידה על כל הפשעים תחסה אהבה מהזרה עולה תפילה והלב האחד מתמלא עוד הים מהזרה עולה תפילה והלב האחד מתמלא עוד הים עם אור הבוקר בזמן התפילה זמן של חיבור זמן של בחירה מושיר שעולה ונשמע הולך ונגלה מתוך הדממה החברים עומדים בליבי רואים את כל מה שבנשמתי ואין מרחק בינם לביני אין עוד מציאות הם כל עולמי מהסרה